Hey, welcome back to They Don't Buy It, the show where I interview my friends about what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to disagree but still be in community. And sometimes you have to give up your need to be right with each other. And so this show is so much fun. I really love introducing a lot of my friends to you. And the reason we're doing each guest as two episodes is so that we don't have to rush through some of these conversations. And so we can dive deeper into some topics that are maybe difficult to talk about and maybe get vulnerable. And I hope that you're enjoying this show. If you are, please share it with somebody and please leave a review. It helps us to get this in front of more people. That said, we're back with another interview with Joseph. He talks about his incredible story and just the love that he's got for his family and for his dream that he's pursuing and living out. And if you didn't last week, I will get on to you this week. Go check out his music. You have to. You have to do it. It's a requirement. So actually stop this episode right now and go listen to it. At least one of his songs. Just a phenomenal musician, even better person, a great, great friend. Here is part two of my interview with Joseph.
Thanks for doing this, dude.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your vulnerability so far.
Yeah, you know? I got you. Yeah.
What else you got to do today?
Just family stuff. My mother-in-law, you know, she in town, she's staying with us, so that's it.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
Yeah, man. I made time just for you.
Shoot, man. Thanks.
What do you guys do for Thanksgiving?
Run around.
Okay.
So my mom, she always cooks, and then we go to my wife and our spiritual father, we go to his place, and so we get soul food, and then we go get Puerto Rican food. So
nice. I love that. Where are you guys going to church down there?
Social Dallas, Pastor Robert Madu's church. Mm-hmm. It's a new church.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. I got you.
So we've been there since November 2020.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's blown up now, but it wasn't that big at first.
Sure. Because when you guys were in Springfield, you guys were going to Second Baptist.
Mm-mm, High Street.
That's what I meant. Yeah, yep. High Street Baptist. Yeah, because I would see you there sometimes. Mm-hmm. I would go occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you... Okay, so we leave Evangel. You and I left Evangel at the same time, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Twin. Beginning of... Yeah, they're like end of 2013, beginning of 2014.
Yeah.
Were you... Like... What did faith look like outside of college for you? Because like you and I didn't have a lot of faith talks. I mean, you know, I know it's so entwined with your music and what you're doing. And I would see you at High Street every once in a while, but like, what did the next couple of years look like for you?
Man, it was a struggle, honestly. Like I said, real life hit.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have unhealed trauma, you resort back to like what you know to cope, right? And
yeah.
So for me, you know, because we do this thing in church, bro, where we put on the church mask, like we put on the church clothes for, you know, and we know how to play church. So I knew how to play church really good, you know.
Yeah,
I knew how to play church really good, but I wasn't healing from the stuff I had gone through in my past. I wasn't even aware of it, me or my wife. And so, you know, after I finished playing ball, you know, I've dedicated my entire...
Go further into that if you can. What do you mean you weren't aware of it?
The trauma?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it just wasn't...
Normal.
Sure.
This is gotcha. It's normal. This is what everybody go through this from where I'm from. Like,
gotcha.
In my community, we all
For
go
sure.
through this. We all lose homies. Nobody parents is together. We all come up in poverty.
Like, no one teaches you how to grieve because you just...
There is
like,
no grief.
Normal. Yeah.
There is no grief. You know?
Okay.
And so,
okay.
You know, like all of this, it's normal. So we don't even think about it as trauma, you know? And so the first, like I had been depressed a couple times in my life, but I didn't know because that was never a conversation in our community. And so the time it was the most impacting was in 2014, from 2014 to about like 2016, top of 2016, for a 2-year period.
Yeah.
I was like super depressed and I didn't know it. Right. Like, and this is where, you know, the not having like a certain type of community who really understand, like, you know, cause it's one thing to have, like, you can be in a small group, but it's one thing, like, I don't really get what you're going through though.
This is what I was trying to say earlier. And yeah, the other is like, man, I don't even know how to be there for, like, if you were to come with me as a friend and say, this is stuff I've gone through, like, I can empathize with you and I can try to say, but like, at the end of the day, you know that I don't know that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's got to feel so lonely.
You feel isolated. Exactly. Yeah. You feel alone. And that's what I felt, right? So 2014, at a buzzer sounds and my basketball career is done.
Mm.
And so not only is my basketball career done, my identity is shattered. This is who I've been my whole life. So now what? I knew I wanted to do music, obviously, but like, this ball has been literally my life since I was four. I'm 22. That's 18 years of like, this is who I am. And it was shattered. And so, man, I just, like, I started wilding out, like, porn addiction. I had cheated on my wife in that time. Like, everything, bro. Like, at one of my closest teammates, he had been murdered, like, in summer 2015. Yeah. And, like, all of that. And I'm just not knowing how to deal with any of it.
Yeah.
None of it. And so, you know, I just started, you know, by the grace of God, I started doing the work, you know, a little work on my own. And I had some, you know, some good people around me, like Mike Story, Big Mike, you know, a lot of people know him as Stan, you know, Ramsey, who's our RA at Evangel. Like, those are, you know, some of my best friends. Reggie Harris, like, those are my, like, closest friends. And they were there with me in that process, and they understood, and they never judged, you know. And so it gave me space to be mad, because I was really mad. Like, I was really, really pissed off at God. Like, I didn't understand anything. And, you know, I was pissed off.
In like why did you let this happen kind of way, or like a
why everything?
Yeah.
I just didn't understand. Sure. I had no understanding, and I had no real leadership. Like, no disrespect to, like, you know, my pastors at the time, but they not from where I'm from.
Yeah.
So they can't speak to what I'm going through.
Yes.
So even when me and my wife went to get, like, marriage counseling, y'all can't speak to what we're trying to work through, because y'all don't come from broken homes. Yeah. Your parents have been married forever. Your grandparents have been married forever. Y'all still do Christmases together. Like, we come from, like, broken home. Like, I had never seen my parents kiss. Yeah. I ain't, you see what I'm saying? Like, I saw them hold hands one time in my life. They were married for 16 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, my wife, same story, like, broken home. Like, so y'all are telling us to do things, and like, we don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so out of that, it just, you know, it kept going further and further and further. My selfish ambition grew, you know, you feeding one monster and it just keep growing. And so, you know, in our household, things had just got quiet. We stopped talking. Cause we didn't want to do the arguing. Like, we was never like beefed out, because we grew up in that. So we never, like, you know, that was the only thing we were intentional about, was, you know, not, we just weren't going to like do the screaming and yelling and, you know?
Yeah.
And so we sat at the table and was like, yo, what do we want to do? And, you know, we just both came to the conclusion, like, all right, let's just, you know, go our separate ways. And it was more on me, though. You know what I'm saying? Like I was such a coward, bro. I couldn't even say it. Because I knew, like, bro, what are you doing? But, like, my ego, my pride, my self, all this selfishness, selfish ambition. All
we talked that, about bro. That. I had a buddy who went through a divorce a couple of years ago on the earlier episodes in this. And he talked about, like, he goes, there's no way I'm suffering and you're thinking this is great. Like, if I feel like this marriage isn't working, you gotta also yeah. be like, you know, it's obvious to both people in a relationship.
Absolutely. You know?
And that's where I think I've learned a lot from. That is, I've been in relationships before where I go, maybe I could, like, I'm feeling terrible right now, but if I just hide it, like, there's no way she's gonna notice. And yeah. I look back and I realize, yeah. oh no, everyone, if you're in a relationship,
we're all aware.
You both are like, okay, this is awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you both had a moment where you just kind of sat, and so she responds by saying, "All right, let's." Like,
she was like, I can't do this no more.
Yeah.
See, I was so cowardly, bro. I wasn't going to say it. I was going to let her say it. I would, just to be real, I would have stayed in the mess if she didn't say nothing.
Why?
Because that's what we do. That's what happens in our community. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my sure. grandparents ain't been together for 50 years because they got a great marriage. They've been together for 50 years because that's what you do. You see what I'm saying? Like, my parents was in a toxic marriage for X amount of years, not because of whatever, but that's just what you do. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
we were going to do the same thing, but she said something. And so I was like, all right, cool. And so she came back here to Arlington. I stayed there for 8 months or so.
Yeah. Cause that was like 2017, 2018.
2018. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, she left June 2018. And I remember the exact day. My best friend Mikey got married, and I went to his wedding in Cincinnati. And when I mm-hmm. came back, she had left. Her and Cash had left. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking in the house, and I heard, you know, sometimes when you just, like, hear the Lord speak to you, and the Lord said, "You lost your covering."
Oh,
bro, it made me want to tear up now. Like, and I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, I just knew what that meant. Like, she was, like, who she was protecting me from a lot of things. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so, bro, that started my journey of, like, just foolishness, running around, being wild, like, all type of stuff.
Is that what you did for 2018, 2019?
Absolutely. And then, you know, so it's funny, bro, because
you still don't have the tools to deal with the stuff.
None, bro.
At this point.
None. Yeah. And mind you, at this time, Jaren is like, because remember, June 2018 is when we had the big show in the square. And remember, that was the time when the square was, like, packed out. Like,
yeah.
You know, and
I think I remember that night being when I found out that she wasn't living there anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And so while my life is falling apart, simultaneously, things in music wise in the city of Springfield are going up for me. So I'm thinking, like, oh, okay, maybe this was the right move. Right. So we do the square, we kill the square. We at the fair, on one of the main stages at the fair. Then we, my single premieres on 92.9, like.
And then you did the Galois.
Yeah, we did that show at the, I can't even remember the name of it, but we did a show there.
It was, like, a great show, yeah.
Yeah, like, all that. So I'm thinking, like, and then at that time I started getting courted by a label. So I'm like, like, everything is going on the up and up, but the Lord giveth and he taketh away. And 2019, when I made the decision to move back home, some just told me, because it was between moving to LA or moving back home, and some just said, you need to be home. And so that's when I decided to go back to Dallas, Arlington.
I hate that we both okay.
Yeah. And so I get back. And same thing, I was on in Missouri, and it came to a head in August of 2018. I'm at my brother's house, and every weekend we drinking, we smoking, we part, like, all this. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, conscious, but I'm like so like drunk and high. And then it's like, what are you doing? It was like the prodigal son moment where he in the mud and he's like, you know, he's eating with the pigs and it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so right there, I started doing the surface work. I started cleaning up the surface. Okay, I ain't gonna drink. I stopped drinking. Stop going out. Stop doing those type of things, those discipline things. And I read a book called The Way of the Superior Man. And it started challenging the way I was taught about women and what real masculinity was.
Mm.
Like all of those things.
Yeah.
And then I read a book. Then I read As a Man Thinking. Now it's implemented the faith aspect. All the while, like it's 2019 and I'm working this crazy job. Like I worked with, you know, people with special needs for the longest. Yeah. And I did the same thing when I moved back. But the organization was horrible, bro. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was working Sunday, so I couldn't even though I like wanted to go to church, I couldn't.
Yeah.
And it came to a head where I was like, God, I need to quit this job. And he was like, go for it. And so I quit because I wanted to go to church. Just so I could go to church again, bro. And so I started going again. And like now the spiritual work is starting to take place.
Yeah.
And I start studying people that I, you know, who operate in the world, but they're not of it. So somebody huge for me was like Jerry Lorenzo. He's the designer of the CEO of Fear of God, the clothes. And I started studying him and listening to his interviews. And it started this work. But then I started listening to a guy by the name of Dr. Eric Thomas,
okay.
who is a motivational speaker. I'm sure everybody here has seen him on social media. He's like,
sure.
You know, I started listening to his podcast and he was the first black man that I had seen with a great marriage. He had money and he had an amazing relationship with God and, you know, character and integrity. And so I literally start soaking up everything and like it fundamentally changed me, like hit like all of his stuff just like changed me, you know, anointed, you know what I'm saying? Like
sure.
Legit.
Yeah.
And I was I'll never forget it. I was listening to, mind you, at this time, me and my wife are divorced now. This is February 2020.
You like made it all the way through the divorce process, like fully divorced.
Fully divorced.
Got
so
it.
This is February 2020. And I'm at this time, I quit that job. I'm working with my dad now, who owns a commercial cleaning company. And so we cleaning the building and I'm listening to Dr. Eric Thomas. And he talked about how he needed to, in order for his relationship to be with his wife, he had to heal some stuff with his mom. Mm. And so he said that God told him, go fix it. Go have a conversation. And then right there, God tells me, you need to go fix your marriage. And like, I hear it in my spirit and verbally, I say, no, I say, absolutely not.
<Mm-mm. laughs>
Like verbally, no. I say that like out loud, bro.
No,
but it was just on me. And so it kind of opened the door for it. And we started having conversations. The pandemic hits and
so happens in 2018.
No, the split happens in 2018. Official divorce 2019.
This is now February 2020.
This is February 2020. Pandemic hits.
Oh, man.
And so now we can't go. No, I can't just pick up cash. Go drive my, like, I can't do that now. Now we're in the house.
Co-parenting cash still.
Exactly. Yeah. So now we got to have these conversations. And so we start and she was doing her work on herself and I've been doing my work and both of our hearts were open. And so she just like, why can't we make this work again?
Mm.
And I was just like, we can, let's get to work. And so we got to work, bro. And you know, that's 2020 and we spent 2020 and 2021 like really, really like working extremely hard. Like it's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life.
And it was just easy, you know. All of a sudden you guys moved back in together and things just worked out.
Oh,
sunshine
my God,
and rainbows.
Oh yeah. It's been, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Bruh. I'm talking about a dog fight.
Yeah.
A dog fight, bro.
Hard.
Like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. You talk about telling everything, like pulling the stuff you don't want to say, the stuff you thinking you're going to take to the grave. Like,
yeah,
all of it, bro. The hardest thing ever. Hardest thing ever.
So were you guys, did you guys decide on a church? You said you started going to your church in November 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was actually, they weren't even a church yet. They were just having gatherings.
Who was helping you walk through this stuff together? Or were you guys just like, all right, we're going to just start figuring this stuff out?
At first, that's how it was. And then our spiritual father, his name is Pastor Richard Martinez. He has a church out here called Cafe Iglesia. It's a Spanish church, but you know, he speaks, you know, both languages. And his life is very similar to mine's. Like, but he's Puerto Rican. And so it's a different place, but the same stuff.
Yeah.
Same type of issues. And so I had somebody who finally understood.
Yeah.
Like his marriage was very similar to ours. Like, and like he was able to like really like, you know, model it for me.
Sure.
And like show me, because I don't need a bunch of conversation. That's just not, I'm not that guy. We got to talk every day. We don't need to do that.
Sure.
Like you give me the, you know, when we sit and we talk, I'm going to hear what I need to hear. I'm going to take what I need to take. And I'm going to also watch. I'm going to watch. And so, man, bro, I did that. And, you know, having him, it's been great. And just, you know, doing the work on yourself. Because at the end of the day, it come down to yourself. Like, you got to want to do the work. You got to want to be better. And I just wanted to be better, bro. Like, I didn't want my life to be what Cash's life is. Because if I don't handle it, he just going to reciprocate. That's all that's going on. We just reciprocating behaviors that we was, like, seen, that we saw, that not even intentionally taught. It's just things we've seen. Things like, you know, like, we can't even tell you why do we do certain things. Well, we just... Just because, I don't know, it's what everybody does, right?
Yep.
Nah, that's trauma. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and so me and my wife, we've just been very intentional about trying to, like, just deal with our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, deal with our stuff. And, you know, it's still hard, like, when you talk about those aspects. But, man, my wife is such a phenomenal, like, woman of God. Like, she really models Jesus, bro. Like, when you talk about when you talk about grace, kind, like your kindness, like draws, you know, us to repentance. Like,
yeah,
bruh, I'm talking about like what unconditional love is.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like we say unconditional love, but like unconditional love is tough. It's not easy, because that means like literally no matter the condition, I'm committed to loving you.
Yeah.
Man, and she's modeled that, bro. Like, she's, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's modeled it in not just words, actions, thoughts, everything, bro. Like, I'm blessed, bro.
Wow. What was she doing in that that in-between time?
Like,
she just moved down to Texas and was,
She started teaching. So she started, like, working at a school teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just working on herself, bro. Like, she was just literally she's at church serving, working with youth.
Yeah.
Like, really working on herself. And like, all the while, mind you, for like the first, you know, 10, 12 months, she was like trying to make it work. Like, she was pressing, but I was so closed off to it.
That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if she just dipped down to Texas and was like, okay, you know.
No, she was actively like, because she saw marriage in the right, like, we're married. We made a covenant. I wasn't like,
we're not just going to walk away and be like, okay, that didn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was on.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what I was taught.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she didn't look at it like that. And so she kept trying. And, you know, and then when she did stop after, you know, the Lord gave, because she waited on the Lord, bro. The Lord gave her permission to stop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there, you know, I guess around that time is when I started doing the work. And so,
sure.
Like, we were only, you know, split for like 18 months.
Yeah. But it's a whole year and a half. I mean, that's, you know, it's short, but it's a long time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm glad you got to the resources or the things that kind of helped you start. Because my question to you then is, if 2016 you know, in Springfield going to High Street were to look at you and go, what is step one here? Like, I feel terrible. I know I'm not doing what I want to be doing. I'm not who I want to be right now. What is step one? But I'm also like, if you can speak directly to him, but also like, what does the church do to help there?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, when you're saying like you didn't have anywhere to go, what do we do? You know,
I think the first thing is like being real with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be real with yourself. Like, you gotta be like, yo, man, I'm like really depressed.
Fully honest. Yep.
Like, I don't know why I'm feeling like this.
I think that's a big thing, is that I think we're in such a like an information age and in such a self-diagnosis age where admitting that you don't know why you feel something is almost embarrassing, or it's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And then it's also like this temptation to, well, if I don't know what it is, let me just grab a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me read that's an article good. And go, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
You know, and then now I go, oh, now I know. Done.
Yeah.
Now I know why. I know what the problem is. Done.
Yeah.
You know, you could easily go, oh, I'm depressed because I had trauma growing, like, because that really was traumatic. That's stuff that not everyone goes through. And then just go, check, figure it out, and then not deal with those things.
Not deal with it. Right. Because the implications of it are so deep. Like,
yeah.
You know, bro, like, yeah, you know, you don't really realize like how much of your behaviors are informed by what you've been through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
or how many of your behaviors was involuntarily. Like, they're just like, you just do, you just said earlier, like, you do stuff or you behave in a way or you think in a way, a thought will pop into your head and you go, where did that come from?
Yeah. You have like, no, it's so deep in you.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, that would be the first thing, bro. It's just like, you got to be real with yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, you, going back to the story of the prodigal son, like, he had to be real with himself first. Yo, I messed this up. Like, this is bad. Like,
yeah,
this is horrible. You know, I really botched this one.
Yeah.
You know, well, he had to be real with himself.
I also want to touch on where you said, like, in that break, like, things were starting to work for you for the music stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, had those things worked out, let's say that record label was courting you and you had like that had come to fruition, you still would have those things undealt with.
I'd have destroyed myself, bro.
Mm.
I'd have been one of those stories that we, you know, that would have been me.
I would have absolutely destroyed myself. Everything you ever wanted, but without dealing with those things, you would have ended up same in a similar place. Spot. Yeah.
Same place, bro. Because you're just going to repeat it. Like, you, bro, you don't get to a new space and then like automatically learn how to deal with things different. No, you resort back to what you know. You know, what's the saying? You rise to the occasion. That's not true. You resort back to your training. So whatever you've been trained or groomed to do, bro, I can't even take credit for that. That's an Inky Johnson quote. I wish I could take credit for that, but that's Inky Johnson.
I'm saying, our whole conversations today are creating a lump in my throat, man. I just think back to like all the, like, you and I are both on in careers and in things that there's so much to be desired. Mm-hmm. And when you say like, oh, I've made it, I feel like I'm still in the grassroots, right? Even though I know there's been some success, I know there's still so much more to do.
Right.
And I look back to 2015 and being like, man, if I had just got that, like, this is 2015, Jaren, being like, if I could just get that opportunity, then, oh, things will work out. But I look at the idiot I was in 2015, and had that guy been given the opportunities that I've got now, this would blow up.
Absolutely. Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. That's why, yeah, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. And it's, you know what's funny? Is the thing, the very things that I wanted are coming back around while I'm prepared.
In ways you hadn't expected, in different ways. Man.
Like, bro,
I needed this conversation today, just so you know.
Yeah, likewise, bro. And, you know, doing UTA's homecoming was such a big deal. For one, I'm from here.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, but then two, a year before, I was, you know, I was hype manning for my boy who was DJing Swerve. He was like, he graduated from here. I was just hype manning, you know? And so a year later, I'm like an official artist on the bill. And it's packed 1,000+ people in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my wife asked me the day before, she was like, are you ready? I was like, create, like, artistically, absolutely. Like, personally, I don't know. That's not for me to know. That's a God thing. Like, mm-hmm. I just, my job is just to, you know, I've been posting on all my posts. You see, I'm saying just do the work.
Yeah.
And that's a new mentality I've really adopted when you talk about like what it really takes to be successful. And it's not, it's not all the external things we think, the connections, the net, like, yeah, that's a part of it, but really it comes down
successful
to the work.
In every way of that word, not just successful in like the career or the dream that we're following, but for you to have a successful marriage defined as an intimate, vulnerable relationship with each other, you both have to continue to do the work.
Yeah.
For you to have a successful relationship with your kids defined as respect, honor, they look up to you and model that life, and you are guiding and directing, teaching, coaching, and then have a genuine relationship that continues for decades, you have to do the work.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. All the way around, bro. It's like it's a real life like mantra. Like, just do the work. Just show up every day and just do the work. And everything else will take care of itself. Like, and I'm really learning that. Like I said, like everything that I wanted and desired 2 years ago is coming back around now.
Yeah.
You know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. They're coming back around now, and my mentality is different. You know, it's not out of like a desperation for trying to feed my ego or trying to like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
because you know, you've dealt with that now.
I've dealt with that. Still dealing with it.
Yeah. But yeah, you're aware of it. You're working toward that, and you don't need this to feed that anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now this is, it serves it something different.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
I
don't, bro.
Now, if I get a platform, it's not to boost my ego or to tell myself and others that I'm worthy of love. Now I can, it also frees that platform of the responsibility to fill that hole in you. And now that platform can be used for something different, absolutely, such as speaking back to yourself as a 14-year-old. And you can turn around and use that platform to inspire growth and challenge, rather than using that platform to fill what's missing in you.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like to piggyback on that, we were at this award show like that in here in Dallas. We had this big like award show. It's called the Cosign Magazine Awards. Mm. And my wife took notice to the fact that everybody there was like, you know, you dress, it's a gala, you know, it's an award show. So everybody is, you know, in their phone or whatever. And I said, you know, it's so crazy, babe. I didn't even know where my phone was the whole night because my team and I, we came with a mission. We're not just here for the whatever. We're not here for to the feed gram. Which is all ego.
The image.
Gram is just all ego, the image. Yeah. We were there to be intentional. Like, we invest, like, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, man. And I, you know, one of the moments where I like, look at you. There was a time where you would have been here trying to like, for the look, like I didn't even post a picture of it on the ground. I just only did it on my story. And that was because I just, you know, people were posting it. I didn't even post it. But when I did post something, I was like, okay, now back to work. Because like, this is cool, but like, don't none of this matter?
I think of it the same way that I see like the finance dudes on Instagram or whatever. Like, if you got to show off your success, then I don't think that's success.
Hey, listen, like, Steve Jobs wore the same thing every day.
People will notice the work. People will notice the fruit of the work. And if you have to point out the work, then I don't think you're doing enough of it.
Yeah, that's it, bro. That's it. That's it. Wow. That's it, family.
I'm good. So proud of you for doing the work. I love watching your family grow. Congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
And I love that you both know that you have to keep doing that work and that you are so mission focused on this. That what I love about counseling and therapy and growth is that it's not just a let's get through this right now, is that now you've developed tools that you can teach your kids.
Yeah.
So when they get to that time in life, they don't have to learn the tools the really hard way, the way you did.
Yeah. My boy Ramsey says it, and he's in school to be I don't want to say it wrong, but like a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And he says,
Ramsey's great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's phenomenal.
Wonderful.
He says, you're no longer breaking generational curses. You're establishing generational blessings. You're
defining them. Yes.
And I was like, man, that's it right there. And so, you know, we did and also too, like fixing my marriage, bro, made me feel like I can do anything. Cause it's the hardest thing in the world.
Mm.
That was you know what I'm saying? It's like 7% of people get divorced and get remarried.
Yeah.
7%.
Well, you know what I'm saying? The person that you are to be able to look back and go, I was a coward then. Like mm-hmm. I was to say that about yourself and go, oh yeah, that was a decision that was not who I want to be. Yeah. That in itself is growth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I appreciate it, bro.
Dude, I'm just saying, like, it's not, the work does not go unnoticed, not just with the music. You know? Yeah. The work has not gone unnoticed, man.
And it means so much because, you know, like you said, it's coming up on a decade, bro, of us knowing each other. If not a decade, it's 2012, 2013.
This is it, dude.
Look at us. Talent 2012.
Bro. It might have been like last week, dude. Wow. Yeah,
man. Incredible, yeah, bro.
That's
incredible.
Awesome, man.
Absolutely.
I just love you a lot, man. I'm so proud of who you are.
Bro.
And I tell people all the time to stream your stuff and support what you're doing. I see you working hard on Instagram, putting in the hours.
Yeah. I'm trying to follow your footsteps.
Well, that was one thing I was just talking to Martz about to bring him up again. Was that you're a person who does not shy away from hard work where you go, oh yeah, there'd be a lot of work to do. But like some people go that and they go, oh, that'd be so much work to do.
You know, I definitely say it, but then I'm like in the back of my head, it's like, but don't be a sucker.
But that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah. And you gotta fall in love with the work, man.
Yeah.
Well, in these last 2 minutes we've got here, what is, when you say like some defining things that you're focused on this next couple of years, you're saying just do the work is something you're committing your life to. Mm-hmm. What is, if you were to speak to someone listening to this and they're in that same spot that you were a couple of years ago, where they don't know where to start, they don't know what to do. They're afraid of maybe going to church, mm-hmm. because they feel like they'd be misunderstood there. What are the things that you want to speak to and that you want to challenge, in these last few minutes here?
Yeah. First, is God isn't intimidated by your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the big thing, is like God isn't afraid of the things you've been through, like the things you are actively dealing with. Like he don't shy away from anything, you know? And so first is just take it to God. Like before you call a friend, before you try and find a mentor, a therapist, like take it to God.
Mm.
Like take it to God first. And then be real with yourself. Like get in front of God and be real. Like, man, I'm struggling. I'm addicted. I'm this, I'm that. Help me. And from there, like God is a gentleman, so he ain't gonna force himself on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, like the doors are open. The right people will come. God will send the right people. Obviously, you gotta do your work. You gotta do your part. You know, you gotta show up at church. You gotta, you mm-hmm. know, not because of anybody else, but you know, I just need to get in the presence of the Lord. Like this is where God is. I need to be here. Like, and that's what it was for me. And so that would be my thing. Like, just get with God. You know what I'm saying? Go have a real conversation. Like he's not intimidated by your stuff.
Well, thank you again for listening to this episode and checking out this podcast. We're kind of in a building phase right now where I'm going to release some of our older episodes along with these new episodes that we're doing. And then we're going to do a big push for this when we get into the new year. So you're kind of here before everyone else. And if that will be very helpful, if you would share this and leave a review. It's super, super. I know I keep saying it. I apologize, but it is really helpful. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I really, truly hope that these conversations help you grow. They are changing my life every day. And I really enjoy my friends. I love them a lot, and I hope you love them too. So that said, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you again next week on They Don't Bite.